the countdown continues, with little more than 1,000 days left to save our planet from global warming, members of the Supreme Master Qinghai International Association in Hong Kong organized a climate change conference to inspire the public to join hands to save our planet. Held on Saturday, October 3rd, the gathering featured lectures by prominent scientists and other speakers from China, Hong Kong, and Formosa or Taiwan, as well as representatives of government, media, and nonprofit organizations. Eminent guests in attendance included Dr. U Mboa, Vice President of the Hong Kong Applied Science and Technology Research Institute, Reverend Feng Chi Wood of the Hong Kong Anglican Church, and Ms. Judy Chen, Chairman of the Hong Kong Ocean Park Conservation Foundation. The talks reviewed current evidence of global warming as well as the swine flu pandemic and proposed solutions. Supreme Master Qinghai accepted the invitation as the honored guest and graciously lent her presence to respond to questions from the audience via video conference. Her thoughts deeply reflected the event's theme, Global Unity, Together in Saving Lives. We now invite you to join us for part three of the 8-part rebroadcast of the video conference with Supreme Master Qinghai entitled Global Unity, Together in Saving Lives, held on October 3, 2009 in Hong Kong.
Animals are always trying their best to adapt the environment for survival. However, the current rate of climate change far exceeds their ability to adapt, resulting in fatal harm to many species, ecosystems, and humanity. We have now the last speech from our distinguished speaker, Ms. Judy Chen, for climate change and biodiversity.
Ms. Chen is currently the chairman of the Hong Kong Ocean Park Conservation Foundation, board member of Hong Kong Ocean Park Corporation, committee member of UNICEF Hong Kong. She is also an honorary chairperson of Wolong Panda Club, China, and member of the Civic Education Committee, Hong Kong SA Government. Let's welcome Ms. Chen.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Pleasure to be here. I think before me, we've heard a lot of facts, crucial facts, and we have seen a lot of numbers that are really giving us a warning sign that the global warming is a very serious issue. Well, the world's climate is changing in a very extraordinary pace and scale that is not likely to be reversed by the nature process. Human activities are believed to be the main driving force behind it. And with the drastic increase in the production of greenhouse gas since the Industrial Revolution, animals are trying so hard to adapt to the environment at their best in order just to survive. However, the current rate of climate change far exceeds the rate of animals adapting to environments, resulting in effects in our species, our ecosystems, and finally to human beings. Well, the main focus of my talk today will be on the effects of climate change to the wildlife and also to human, and how human, us, we can respond and react to this change. It has been documented that the global temperature has been increasing at a very fast rate since 1850. The increase in the production of the greenhouse gas, including carbon dioxide, methane, and etc., since the Industrial Revolution, has significantly correlated to the boost of rising temperature, both in the air and also in the ocean. The current rate of warming in our planet is believed to be at least 10 times higher than the warming rate after the last ice age. Cold nights have been decreased in number globally, and on the other hand, heat waves have been becoming more and more common. We have noticed a lot of typhoons formed in the Atlantic regions. And what happened to Hong Kong locally in the past 118 years, in line with the global warming, according to the number, we have warming up at a rate of approximately about 0.6 degrees per decade. That's quite scary. And it is predicted to rise from the hot days, very hot days. I mean, it's a temperature over 33 degrees. It's predicted from 11 days per year to 24 days per year. What happened? What happened and how is it affects our biodiversity? Climate affects just about every aspect of nature and human being. And there is now compelling evidence that the climate change is already impacting and will continue to impact the entire Earth system, including ecosystems, communities, population structures. We've seen rising sea levels. Warming of the physical environment directly caused the ice caps to melt in the polar regions. And at the same time, thermal expansions of seawater in the ocean also significantly increased the volume of it. Lowland areas will be flooded easily, and available coastal habitats like mangroves and mudflats will be reduced in size greatly. Global precipitation pattern change. A warmer world means that there will be more rainfall as a whole. Change in rainfall pattern also alters the freshwater stream flow pattern, of which less flow in the stream affecting the diversity and abundance of animals. Acidic ocean. The increase of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere dissolved in water, making the ocean more acidic than before. It affects the calcium carbonate formation in the marine organisms, such as our corals, shellfish, like lobsters, clams, scallops, sea urchins as well. And we have ranges of species shift. The climate variability brings shifts in the distribution and abundance of fish, invertebrate, and the plant species in marine communities. This makes the animal migrate to further north and further south. Further north, we will have the polar bears, and further south, we'll have penguins. These are our very cute little friends. They have less and less land to play, less and less ice land to freely roam. Climate change will be expected to lead an upward shift in species ranges. But what happened to our plants? Plants, they don't have wings, they don't have feet, they cannot move, they cannot fly. They can do is just stay there and be left behind. And because our plants change, climate change, a lot of animals that are dependent on the geographic range and habitats, they're facing a very challenging result, like our giant pandas. They depend on high mountain bamboo forest, and right now they have to move higher and higher elevations, but then they don't have certain species of bamboo to eat. Giant pandas are our cute little friends, they're great blessings to human beings. They walk from 9 million years ago to today, and we don't want them to exist. Loss of our valuable lands, loss of our precious animals, what human can do today. We talk about the carbon footprint, we talk about recycle. What we can do is, from my point of view, we try to spread out the message and encourage more people to join us. Plant a tree. Plant a tree. The trees can help with the carbon dioxide. Time is running out. We only have this much time to make a difference. I believe that a lot of friends here share the same vision as I, that we share this and we always believe in an environment that human can live in harmony with nature. And we believe in that, and together we can make a difference. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Chang.
We would like to express our sincere thankfulness to all our distinguished speakers who present us vital information on the dire truth of global warming and the sustainable solution available in terms of alternative living, particularly the vegan diet. Let's thank them once again with the warmest applause.
Thank you.
Today, it is our honor to have also honorable guests here. So we would like to introduce our honorable guest, Mr. Yin Kai-wing, the member of District Council, Sun Sui Bo. Let's give him a warm applause. Thank you for your time. Thank you for joining us. Our next honorable guest is famous great ballet dancer, Jim Wong. Thank you for your time. Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, we are privileged and grateful to have our most honorable guest, Supreme Master Ching Hai, accept the invitation to join the conference. Supreme Master Ching Hai is highly esteemed invited speaker at many climate change seminars and conferences around the world. Let's give a warm round of applause to welcome our most honorable Supreme Master Ching Hai.
Hello, hello, Master.
Hello, Master.
How are you?
Hello, hello. 大家好.
Thank you, Master, for your time with us. And Master, first, we would like to greet you Happy Moon Festival.
Happy Moon Festival. Oh.
Happy Moon Festival.
多谢.
And a great welcome back
thank
to Hong Kong.
Ni ho liang.
Thank you, Master. And you too, you are very beautiful.
Happy Moon Festival to everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
And happy China Day. 2 days late, but still happy China Day. 60 years China Day. Happy China.
We are very happy and touched to have you here today with us. And Hong Kong miss you, we miss you.
Yeah, I miss Hong Kong too. I used to like it very much because we have a beautiful mountain and we can do retreat there. Yes, just about 10 minutes from the city, but beautiful. I miss that time very much. Beautiful Hong Kong. Thanks for having me back.
Thank you, Master.
Thank you. Supreme Master Ching Hai. Thank you once again for your unconditional love and kindness for sharing us your time. Master, our distinguished speakers have presented their knowledge and views on the current crisis of the planet. In addition, we have also a diverse group of distinguished guests representing many areas of society, including head of government, experts from fields of medical science, science and technology, education, religion, journalism, us and others. They are gathering here in a vital discussion about global warming and its solution.
Supreme Master Ching Hai,
yeah.
We would be very grateful if you can share with us your thoughts and views on global warming.
Yes, thank you. I have been listening to our distinguished speakers. And I was very, very impressed by all their wise knowledge and very educational and helpful advice to us and the global viewers. I thank them very much, very much. And of course, I'm very honored also to be invited here with you in this conference with the many respected government leaders, media members, NGO representatives, wise professors, and other distinguished speakers, as mentioned today. And also, as well as the caring audience members who spare their precious time in their busy life to come and to share their caring worry about our planet. Now, we have listened to many important speeches about the current effects of climate change on wildlife, on human health, and on the oceans even. So the sense of urgency can truly be felt from these eloquent presentations. While hearing them, the wish would grow stronger in our hearts for a saved planet and for saved lives. Hong Kong has long enjoyed prosperity and peace, both as the pride of China and as an internationally admired city. But as with all cities and countries in the world, she is vulnerable to the effects of global warming, such as the threat of sea level rise, and, as we have learned from the experts today, diseases are intensifying as well. In such an increasingly frightening scenario, we are lucky and blessed to still have the time to save our lives and the lives of our children and our co-inhabitants. So I'm still hopeful that this important conference today will motivate everyone to make the small changes needed to propel us all toward a beautiful future for ourselves and the planet. And thank you. Please be a hero. Be veg. Go green. Do good deeds and save the planet. Thank you so much. God bless Hong Kong.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Master.
Thank you.
Now, Master, we have our first honorable guest, Mr. Bobsey. Mr. Bobsey is a vegetarian and is a shining world hero laureate for being the founder of Save the Human campaign. And some of our guests would like to have your opinions and advice to their questions. And now, Mr. Bobsey is our first guest who would like to put one question to you. Thank you, Master.
Welcome, Bobsey. Nice to know you, Bobsey.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you. Master, in your website, you are urging us and telling us that we have 1,208 days left to save the planet. That is just over 3 years. Could you please explain why you have specifically stated this number or these number of years? Thank you.
Yes, Bobsey. You see, since you ask, I have to tell you the truth. It's my inner knowledge through meditation. But that I cannot prove to you. Nevertheless, all the scientific data as well as evidence all point to this approximate number. And the evidence is already there and available. As you said, today, more or less, there are only 1,208 days left to save the planet from runaway global warming, from destruction by all the world's population becoming vegan. That is a small change and a small sacrifice that we all could afford to make and should make for the sake of ourselves and the future generation. Very small change, I think. Very affordable change and very reasonable. But whether people will become vegan or vegetarian like yourself or not, whether the world will save itself or not, it all depends on humans' action. But the countdown is there to remind us that we have a very short time, just a little over 3 years, for every single person to be veg to save life on Earth. We have to save this planet for our children. They are too innocent to deserve the destruction that is awaiting them. They're too vulnerable. They're helpless. They depend on us, the adult, the wise grown-up, to lead them into the right direction, to protect them, and to save their lives. We have inherited a beautiful planet. It is our duty to keep it that way for our children and grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren later on. We have our duty to protect the home for the children. Even if we don't care about our life on earth, we have no right to destroy it for others. I hope the countdown helps people to feel the urgency and join the solution. So I appreciate you, Mr. Bobsey, for your own veg promoting efforts with your slogan, Save the Human campaign. It is fittingly named. We must save the human and human compassionate heart. That is the most important. We have to save our noble quality. Again and again, I always mention, it's not just about the physical existence on this planet that we want to save, but we want to protect the children. And by doing that, we protect our noble self, our heroic, compassionate self, which is our true nature. If we lose them, it's worse than losing the planet. We have to keep our compassionate heart. We have to be noble and truthful, loving and protective of the weak and the feeble, like children and the helpless, defenseless animals. We must protect our noble nature. We must be a living, walking, breathing children of God or the disciples of the Buddhas. Thanks again for your efforts, Bobsey. And thanks
Thank
for
you.
Reminding us by your question. God bless.
Thank you very much, Master. Thank you for an important message.
You're welcome.
We will keep your advice in our heart and work hard, try all our best to work hard to do together and to stop the global warming. Thank you. Thank you, Master, and thank you, Bobsey, for your good questions.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Vegetarianism in Religion.
The Baha'i Faith. Regarding the eating of animal flesh and abstinence therefrom, know thou of a certainty that, in the beginning of creation, God determined the food of every living being, and to eat contrary to that determination is not approved. Selections from the Baha'i Writings of Some Aspects of Health and Healing.
Buddhism. All meats eaten by living beings are of their own relatives. Lankavatara Sutra. Also, after the birth of the baby, care must be exercised not to kill any animal in order to feed the mother with meaty delicacies, and not to assemble many relatives to drink liquor or to eat meat, because at the difficult time of birth, there are innumerable evil demons, monsters, and goblins who want to consume the smelly blood. By ignorantly and adversely resorting to the killing of animals for consumption, they bring down curses upon themselves, which are detrimental to both the mother and the baby. Kasithigarbha Sutra. Be careful during the days immediately after someone's death, not killing or destroying, or creating evil karma by worshipping or offering sacrifice to demons and deities, because such killing and slaughtering committed, or such worship performed, or such sacrifice offered, would not have even an iota of force to benefit the dead, but would entwine even more sinful karma into previous karma, making it even deeper and more serious. Thus, delay his rebirth to a good state. Karma means retribution. Kasithigarbha Sutra.
Gaudai. The most important thing is to stop killing, because animals also have souls and understand like humans. If we kill and eat them, then we owe them a blood debt. Teachings of the Saints.
Christianity. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Holy Bible.
And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. Holy Bible.
Confucianism. All men have a mind which cannot bear to see the sufferings of others. The superior man, having seen the animals alive, cannot bear to see them die. Having heard their dying cries, he cannot bear to eat their flesh. Mencius. Essenes.
I am come to end the sacrifices and feasts of blood. And if ye cease not offering and eating of flesh and blood, the wrath of God shall not cease from you. Gospel of the Holy Twelve.
Hinduism. Since you cannot bring killed animals back to life, you are responsible for killing them. Therefore, you are going to hell. There is no way for your deliverance. Adilila.
He who desires to augment his own flesh by eating the flesh of other creatures lives in misery in whatever species he may take his birth. Mahabharata anew.
Islam. Allah will not give mercy to anyone except those who give mercy to other creatures. Hadith.
Do not allow your stomachs to become graveyards of animals. Hadith.
Jainism. A true monk should not accept such food and drink as has been specially prepared for him involving the slaughter of living beings. Sutrakatanga.
Judaism. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. Holy Bible. Blood meaning flesh.
Sikhism. Those mortals who consume marijuana, flesh, and wine, no matter what pilgrimages, fasts, and rituals they follow, they will all go to hell. Guru Granth Sahib.
Taoism. Do not go into the mountain to catch birds and nets, nor to the water to poison fishes and minnows. Do not butcher the ox that plows your field. Tract of the Quiet Way.
Tibetan Buddhism. The offering to the deities of meat obtained by killing animate beings is like offering a mother the flesh of her own child, and this is a grievous failure, the supreme path of discipleship.
Zoroastrianism. Those plants, I, Ahura Mazda, or God, rain down upon the earth to bring food to the faithful and fodder to the beneficent cow. Avesta.
Everybody knows that vegetarian diet is good for health and to save the planet. They will be awakening their own great, compassionate, loving self-nature, and then their level of consciousness will rise up automatically, and they will understand more than they ever did, and they'll be closer to heaven than what they are right now.
And now we have our next honorable guest, Dr. Lawrence Lau. He is a health care consultant.
Hello, Master.
Hello,
I'm honored to be invited here and glad to see you in person. That I appreciate the effort you have made and the organization leading the head in helping the world, this global warming, which is becoming more and more serious. And in fact, there are more people who have died from meat eating, died from drug addictions, alcoholics, than people who die in a war. Then, if most people become vegetarians, do you think there would be improvement? And also, if most people become vegetarians, how would that help economically, spiritually, culturally, and scientifically? I appreciate your answering these four aspects. Thank you.
Good question, Dr. Lau. Thank you for your kind words about our humble group. If we have accomplished anything at all, I feel it's just a duty to contribute our part, as small as it may be, as concerned world citizens. In Vietnam, we have a saying that when your country is in trouble, even a fool has responsibility to protect it. Quốc gia hưng vong, thất phu hữu trách. Yes. Meaning, even though we don't have all the knowledge, all the scientific means to help the planet in the way we would have liked to do, even though our group are not very significantly strong in numbers, we still have to do our best, just like everyone else. Because if everybody do their part, then the power together is strong. It's like we say, one tree cannot do much, but many trees made a forest. So we are doing our part, and we are hoping and reminding and pleading with everyone to do their part. Because we are all here together. I am one of you. And it's still a very beautiful planet. And I wish it will still be there for the children, for future generations to come. Of course, if the majority of the world's people become vegetarian, or preferably vegan, organic vegan would be best for our world. Then there would be a tremendous improvement in all aspects. First, as you imply, Dr. Lau, millions of people who would otherwise be gone because of these killer substances that you mentioned will be alive. Economically, that means hundreds of billions in health care costs are saved. Millions of family members and children will be secure and provided for and be protected from the heartaches of losing their loved ones due to poisonous substances in meat, alcohol, drug, tobacco. Billions of tax dollars and government time and energy to fight drugs, tobacco, alcohol, and to give meat subsidies are saved also. Billions of dollars in lost productivity for companies are saved too. Productivity will go up even much higher if people aren't crippled by these killers. Culturally, without meat, alcohol, drugs and tobacco, of course we would be happier, healthier, because loved ones will be around longer. We will be around longer for them, and they will be around longer for us as families. It would be better for the communities, for their countries. Not only will we be healthier, we will feel different, more loving, more caring, more alive, more carefree as well. Because we are no longer burdened physically and in our conscience and in our heart by these oppressive, addictive substances, we will also think differently as a society. More clarity and wisdom will be flowing into our minds so that we would know of better ways to run our society and live our lives. Ask anyone who has turned around to forsake meat, forsake drugs, forsake alcohol, and forsake tobacco. You ask any of them how they felt before and how they feel after. They would tell you a huge improvement in all aspects of their life. And they would tell you that they're so glad that they quit the bad habit. And they will tell you how happier they feel, how light-hearted, how more intelligent, how more productive and constructive to themselves, to their family, society, and the world at large. Spiritually, we will have more awareness, more love in abundance. In our heart, we will feel the world of difference. Ask anyone who has quit these harmful substances, they will tell you the same. Even without practicing any religious faith or any yoga they feel a world of difference already. And of course, if we practice meditation or yoga, then of course we feel even much better than that. Calmer, yes, more loving, more attentive, more concentrate in whatever we do. Thus, our productivity will be enhanced and we will be contributed more to the society. Thus, if everyone forsake these harmful substances, we will be creating a powerful, positive, loving and harmonious energy that is constructive and beneficial to all on earth in all aspects. And with this energy, we will be able to counter and defeat the dark, menacing, dangerous energy that is trying to suffocate us and trying to destroy our only home for our children, that is our beloved planet.
Some of the tragic tolls of addictive drug abuse. Over 200,000 deaths each year. Costs of $181 billion each year in the United States. $33 billion in the UK. Lifetime cost of current drug addiction amounts to $575 billion in the UK. Harmful effects. Brain damage. Stroke. Heart disease. Liver disease. Tuberculosis. Emphysema. Cancer. Depression. Suicide. Permanent memory loss. Mental illness. Higher infant mortality, increased crime and violence, impotence. Crime and violence. Illegal drugs are a factor in 50% of burglaries in the United Kingdom each year. In the US, 60% of people arrested each year have been taking illegal drugs. 650 heroin addicts in the US committed 70,000 crimes in a 3-month period. Social costs. U.S. businesses lose $100 billion per year due to employees' drug and alcohol abuse. Australians pay $53 billion per year for healthcare, law enforcement, and lost productivity of drug users. Environmental costs. Every gram of cocaine produced destroys 4.4 square meters of rainforest, with 300,000 hectares of rainforest lost each year to cocaine production. Death. 52 people die each day due to drugs in the U.S. In Canada, substance abuse is attributed to 21% of total deaths and 23% of potential life years lost due to early mortalities. Plus more.
Some of the tragic tolls of tobacco. 5.4 million smoking-related deaths per year worldwide. Cost of smoking-related illnesses, $96 billion in the United States alone. Light and mild cigarettes just as harmful. Causes cancer and diseases in animal companions. Speeds the aging process, toxic residues of third-hand smoke. Heart disease, coronary thrombosis, cerebral thrombosis, kidney failure. Cancer, lung cancer, esophagus cancer, kidneys cancer, bladder cancer. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Emphysema, bronchitis. Stroke, impotence. Additional harms for secondhand smoking. Childhood arteriosclerosis leading to heart attacks and strokes in adulthood. Sudden infant death syndrome, infertility, miscarriages and premature deliveries, childhood asthma, bronchitis, ear infection, cleft lip or palate, hyperactivity and aggression in asthmatic boys, circulatory problems in women. Plus more.
Some of the tragic tolls of alcohol. 2.3 million alcohol-related deaths per year worldwide. Cost of alcohol-related illnesses. $186.4 billion US dollars in the United States. up to 210 to 665 billion US dollars globally.
Disease. Higher amounts of alcohol increase the cancer risk. Even half a glass of wine daily increases the risk of mouth or throat cancer by 168%. Cancer of the liver, breast, colon, esophagus, rectum. Liver disease. Cardiovascular disease. Metal toxicity. Brain damage. Amnesia and dementia. Brain shrinkage.
Organ failure. Heart, liver, kidneys, stomach, pancreas, eyes.
Birth defects, mental retardation, fetal alcohol syndrome, stunted growth, facial deformity, sudden infant death syndrome, miscarriage.
Alcohol-related violence. Child abuse, 50% of cases. Violence toward loved ones, 30% of cases. Violent acts, 40 to 80% of cases. Suicides, 20 to 50% of cases. Plus more.
For more urgent information, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/killers.
If all become vegans, vegetarian, organic vegan be better, we will be much easily elevated inside, spiritually, without these toxins as obstacles in our lives. And as a result, scientific changes will manifest as well, in the form of incredible, fantastic new inventions that improve the quality of life for people on Earth. Our scientific and technological understanding will also go beyond Earth, because with an elevated, compassionate atmosphere, we can even communicate with other, more advanced planet people and learn from them, exchange with them our knowledge and their knowledge. And of course, the environment will be restored to a wholesome state. Once meat, alcohol, drugs, and tobacco are eliminated, the changes and improvements will be so far-reaching and so wonderful. It will be like a great leap in our evolution. We should pray for this day to come soon. Dr. Lau, thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Master. I'm sure many more people will become vegan day by day. And thank you, Dr. Lau, for your great concern for others. Thank you very much.
大家都是素食的话，不养猪、不养肉、不养牛的话，我相信一定会减少大概最少40%以上这些物质气体。所以我相信，只要大部分人都来开始素食的话，应该减下这些畜牧业这些养牛养猪的这些工业的话，我相信一定可以减缓地球的暖化。我大概20多年前在台湾就经过青海无碳市这位大人物，因为他。 他的德行引起很多人对他信仰，我相信这方面的鼓励，很多人跟随他的话，应该对地球的这个环境应该也有帮忙。我对他非常 respect。
I think it's amazing. I think it's really blissful and heavenly that we have so many people here who've made personal choices to help for a peaceful and healthy planet and a healthy self. I think we're much more efficient and much more harmonious if we eat vegetarian diets. From what I've learned here today and watching her converse with my good friend Babsy, I've seen an amazing light from her, and it seems like she's leading people and the world into a much better place.
Save the human. Don't eat the planet. Be veg. Go green. Save the planet.
Save yourself.
Thank you for your warm-hearted presence for today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Please join us again on Tuesday for part 4 of Global Unity, Together in Saving Lives. Now, please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, coming up next right after Noteworthy News. We wish you joy, peace, and prosperity.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.